We're going to, some people say, why do you stand? Because it'll be your last time to stand for a while. It usually is the reason that that happens. But really, it's to honor God's Word as we read. In Romans chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading this. I mentioned this is our 16th message from the book of Romans and how it is very thick. It's very deep. But it really tells man that he is a depraved and sinner. He needs a Savior. And God has made a way for our justification, for us to be saved by the grace of God. And today, as we read the text, I would turn your attention to when we get to chapter verse number 20. And that would be what we might call the key verse of this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And because of that, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So basically, even though there wasn't a law that showed us anything, there was still death. And death proves that man is a sinner. Verse number 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Now, can you see with me, there is a great contrast here between the first man, Adam, and the man, Jesus Christ. It's very evident from just what we've read that sin came by Adam, but salvation came by Jesus Christ. All right, now, verse number 18, and we're almost getting to verse 20. "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, and the offense might abound." Now here's the key verse right here, and here's what I want to preach about this morning. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." God's grace is greater than man's sin. That is awesome. God's grace is greater than man's sin. I'm going to read that one more time. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." That is a very great passage of Scripture that we just read. And there's a contrast here between the man, that Adam who represents mankind, the human race, and he acted on our behalf by sinning, but Jesus Christ acted on our behalf by giving us justification. Lord, help us today as we look at this passage of Scripture. And I'm reminded that many people think they got too much sin to be saved. But yet the Bible makes it very clear that no matter what the sin is, grace is greater than any sin. The grace of God is greater than man's sin. So that one person maybe here today that needs to be saved, I pray they would understand this great truth, that they are a sinner. We are all sinners. But through Jesus Christ, we can be saved by the grace of God. Help me, Lord. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you look up the word superiority, superiority refers to maybe what is something that is better than something else. So, and I'm not going to try to get in the weeds here, but when we say superiority, it's better than, something better than. And you might say that Andy's frozen custard is better than Brahms. Or you might say that Brahms is superior to Andy's. I wouldn't necessarily agree with you on that matter. Or how about this one? And I did this one time, and you used the little symbol, greater than. And one time I wrote this. I wrote New York style pizza, and I put the little greater than Chicago style pizza. Now some people think Chicago, too much bread there. I like the meat. Then there's the great controversy of Ford is better than Chevy, or Chevy is better than Ford. I think those are some of the most dumbest arguments in the world. But new is better than old. That's what I like to say. I don't care if it's a Chevy or a Ford. And so we might think about those areas of life. We think, well, that's superior than that. And the debate could go on forever. It could go on forever. However, when it comes to sin and salvation, there is no debate about the great truth of the superiority of what we read in the passage this morning, and that is this. The grace of God is superior to man's sin. Now I want you to know something. Man is a depraved being. Man is a sinner. And you don't have to live very long in this wicked world in which we live. In fact, it's almost to the point I don't really like listening or watching the news or reading about some thing that is going on in our society. I'm just telling you, it's and when you say that is sin, that is wrong, that is against God's word. Well, listen, let me just tell you something. There is something superior to the sin and the degradation of this world, and that is the grace of God. God's grace is greater than man's depravity. Now, in the passage that we just read in those verses, and over, we read about Adam and we read about Jesus Christ. And we see that Adam represents the human race and Jesus Christ represents the human race. Adam represents the human race in that we are sinners. But Jesus Christ represents the human race whereby a man can be saved by the grace of God. They acted on man's behalf. Adam acted on man's behalf, and when he fell into sin, and by the way, if you could change the name to anybody in here. If you would have been there instead of Adam being there, you would have sinned. And we sin because we are sinners. What the representation of each of these two men does actually imputes upon us all that follow those things. So if you're in the human race, and you are, you were born into sin. But you can be born again into salvation by what Jesus Christ has done. And so the one thing that we must grasp this morning in the message is this. We actually get more in Jesus Christ than we lost in Adam. We get much more in Jesus Christ than what we lost in Adam. In Adam, we inherit in sin. But in Jesus Christ, we can inherit eternal salvation. And eternal salvation means forever. I sit in my chair on the back porch and I do a little swinging, thinking about my mom because she always loved the swing, and that's why I had it placed there so I could think about my mom. But I look out into the sky, and I think about the grace of God, and I think about that this life, when it comes to eternity, is very short. 70, and after that, you're on borrowed time. Won't be long that all of us on borrowed time, but there will be a day that we cannot live forever. But if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we shall live forever in the eternal state because of what Christ has done. So I want to preach this morning that the grace of God is greater than the sin of man. Jesus Christ's obedience is sufficient to overcome the effects of Adam's disobedience. And Adam did disobey. Look at verse number 12. Here is the very roots of sin in verse number 12. And it makes it very clear, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, you could preach a whole message on that verse right there. But I'm only going to use about 5 points so I can move on to the next one. But I want you to understand, you see the word entered here. Entered into the world. That's what the Bible says. By one man, sin entered into the world. Sin did not begin with Adam. Sin entered into the human race by Adam. Sin entered into the world through Satan. That is made very clear in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Both of these passages of Scripture gives us the entrance of sin into the world as Satan decided that he wanted to be like God or above God. And Satan is a very powerful being. He has wiles. He has deception. He has ways. We're not ignorant of his devices, the Bible says. And by the way, he's always deceived. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer, always has been. He is not your friend. And these wicked people who actually worship Satan have no idea the darkness that they are under. I want you to understand, sin entered the world through Satan. He decided that I want to be like God. I'm going to make myself like God. But he was so powerful. I want you to think about this. In the two passages of Ezekiel and Isaiah, it makes it very clear that he was so powerful that he was able to persuade 1/3 of the angelic host to go with him. Now, they're angels today, but they're fallen angels, and we call them devils or demons. That's what Jesus Christ called them. But here's the deal. God had clearly instructed Adam on what he could do and what he couldn't do. He made his life very great, and he said one thing restricted: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, the Bible says. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And man disobeyed and ate the fruit. And Adam didn't die right then physically, but he did die spiritually. Regardless of God's command, Adam ate the forbidden fruit. Adam transgressed God's commandment, and spiritually, he died. And that's what the Bible says in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, notice the results of that. Death passed upon all men. That's the results of sin. Just like a child inherits the nature of his parents, mankind inherits the fallen nature of Adam. Adam is where the human race was ruined. This was the opposite of what the devil had promised Eve. The old liar had assured Eve that she would not die. In fact, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Yes, they will know good and evil, but that is a lie, and the devil's still lying today. Oh, it's okay, do this. Oh, it's okay, do that. Whatever it might be. Isn't it amazing how good sin sounds? He is described as being more subtle than any beast of the field. The Bible tells us that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. When it comes to the business of deception, Satan is the master deceiver of the ages. He can take the ugliest of sin and make it sound good. Eve listened to him, and it was the beginning of the ruin for God's creation. All sin can be traced back to when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And we're sinners. And death passed upon all men. My friend, Notice it says here, the tense of the statement, that it says, Paul makes it very clear, all have sinned. That is a past tense, meaning the context is, in still talking about Adam, when Paul said that the man all have sinned, that means he sinned. That means we sinned. That means he fell. That means we fell. That means when Adam died spiritually, we die spiritually. Paul is driving the fact home that we have the nature of a sinner. We are born into the world with this sin nature. Listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You do not have to teach a child how to lie. You don't have to teach a child how to pitch a fit. Every baby starts life as a little sinner. Every one of them. Oh, isn't he cute? Yeah, he's a cute little sinner. That's what he is. And mothers just are us. Oh, I can't believe this. But they find out pretty quickly that that little fella or that little girl is completely selfish and self-centered and wants what they want when they want it, whether it's a bottle, his mother's attention, his sister, his brother's toy. Well, you get all fired up when one rides the other's bicycle. That's my bicycle. That's a self-centered sinner. Somebody say amen. If you deny that little sinner what they want, they get mad and they pitch a fit and they lay down and they roll around on the floor. And then they grow up and do the same thing. If parents don't do something about it. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We sin because we have a sin nature. Earlier, Paul said, for all, in chapter 3, verse 23, Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I heard that verse when I was a little kid, and I remember back in the old days when they had service stations. And you would actually drive into a service station, they were called. And the man would come out and you would say, fill her up. And he would fill up your tank and he would check your oil and he would raise the hood. Oh, these were great days. We didn't call them filling stations, we called them service stations. And the guy would always come out, and when they would open up the hood, I was a little kid, and I could see through that little crack. You know, when they lifted up the hood. And they would take the oil stick, and they would pull it out. And I'll never forget that old guy. I mean, my mom, all the time, 66 Chevrolet, 66 Plymouth, red, and that hood being up, and he would take that old dirty rag out of his pocket, and he would take the oil off of the dipstick and then put the dipstick back in. He might come around the corner about every 6 weeks and say, you're a quart low. And they'd say, fill her up. And you'd get your gas for 85 cents a gallon and an oil for a dollar and a quarter. Oh, those were the glory days. But our righteousness is like that old dirty, filthy rag that service station attendant used to pull out. In fact, the Bible tells us about the reign of sin in verse number 13 and 14. It says, for until the law, sin was imputed in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come. Once again, Paul says, he goes back to the law like he's done several times to prove a point. And that is already he's proven, and he's already preached to us, and he's already showed us you can't be saved by the law. All right? There's no law. But and so even for many, many years, there was no law to show men their transgression, but there was death. And death showed us there's transgression. Death is the result of sin. It's the result of the Adam's nature. It is the result of what we inherit in his sin nature. And every day we're dying. Every day we are dying. Every day we get closer to death. Now this has all been negative, I think, in verse 12 and 13 and 14. But in verse number 15, we start getting some remedy for sin. And it says here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Hey, we're sinners. But God has given us the gift of salvation. And a gift of, He's given us the gift of grace. So Paul explains the remedy for our sin by showing us the difference between the work of Adam with the work of Christ. When Adam sinned, every man died spiritually. Now that is a present tense. For if through the offense, one, many be dead, many are physically alive but spiritually dead. Now when the Bible talks about death in this context, it's talking about spiritual death. Listen, you are spiritually dead in trespasses in sin until you are saved by the grace of God. Until you are justified by God's grace. Until you call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. When you get saved by God's grace, then you, your deadness, your spiritually dead, sinful nature becomes alive. It's quickened, the Bible says. And now you can like read the Bible and be illuminated. Or you can begin to understand spiritual things. We are by nature the children of wrath, Ephesians says. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 3 verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's grace, my friend, is the remedy for man's sin. Did I tell you this? That God's grace is greater than man's sin? That's why Paul says, much more the grace of God, look at there in verse 15, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. That many means those that have been saved. And many people have been saved. But God's still looking to save more today. God's grace is greater than man's sin. Now, in contrast to Adam, Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Adam delivered the doom. Jesus Christ delivered the grace of salvation. Adam brought guilt, but Jesus brought grace. Please take note of the wording here. Paul says, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace hath abounded to many. The grace of God, which is the basis of our justification, is contrasted with the sin of Adam. Grace is greater in quality and in degree than Adam's sin. In Adam, we got what we deserved. Condemnation and guilt. In Christ, we have received much more than what we have received much more of what we do not deserve, which is grace and mercy. Folks, this is eternal life. In fact, Romans, look down at verse number 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. In other words, Adam's one offense brought judgment. Adam's offense brought condemnation, but God's grace abounds to many who have offended God. And by the way, we have offended God. Adam brought eternal death. Grace brings eternal life. Everybody getting this? Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, hey, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know, we don't know how long the reign of Adam was in the Garden of Eden. I've read so many people that believe, well, Adam was in the garden for this long, or Adam was in the garden. Even if, let's just say he was there for 2 months. Man, he had it made until he disobeyed God. And we're still feeling the effects of it today. You know, sometimes people just don't understand the consequences of sin. And they just plunge headlong into some offense of God. I mean, the offending of God, offending the Bible, doing against the Word of God. And the consequences just keep going down the line. And today we're dealing with it. Sin abounds, but grace much more abounds. After Adam's sin, the Bible says death reigned. Death was the result of Adam's reign. He brought ruin to God's creation. You know, every time I pick up a rock out of my grass, every time you pick up a weed or you reach down to grab a weed you've never seen before and thorns are in it and you had no idea and you're like, what? Where'd that come from? Sin. How come these rocks are under this ground? Missouri dirt. I'm just saying, but at the same time you can see the creation of God, the beauty of God. But can you imagine what the creation was like when there was no sin in the world? But after Adam, sin reigned. He wrought ruin. Oh, time out though. Jesus Christ brings restoration. Now we're not going to get to see the results of it until we get out of here. And I'm pretty convinced when we get to heaven, we're going to go, man, why did I try to... What was the big deal? Why did I try not to get here? Because we'll do everything in the world not to go to heaven. Yet heaven is our home. That which Adam lost through his disobedience, Christ redeemed through his obedience. Paul said that we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ, verse 17. In Adam, our life is one bondage and hopelessness. However, when we're in Christ, we reign with Him and He reigns over death. Oh, do you understand that Jesus Christ overcame death? He overcame death. And because He overcame death, we too shall overcome death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. For the believer, death is our greatest enemy. But Jesus Christ destroyed it. In the book of 1 Corinthians, He says it like this, verse 15, for He must reign till He hath put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then we'll be able to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This world ain't my home. And the longer I'm in it, the more I realize this ain't my home. These people are... This world is crazy. So not only do we positionally live and reign with Christ now, and we do, but the day is coming when we shall literally reign with Him. Adam brought us into bondage. Christ set us free. Look at verse number 18 and 19. Check this out. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, there's a contrast again, like there's been all through this passage of Scripture. The first one is judgment. The other is the free gift of salvation. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Verse number 20 said, the law entered and the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Now I want to kind of hang out here for just a few minutes. The phrase much more abounded means superabounding or to surpass by far, exceeding immeasurable or overflowing beyond. Or the word that I used when I first started, superior. Superior. The grace of God is superior to your sin. Well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. God's grace is superior to your sin. It speaks of the fact that God's grace far exceeds the offense that we have against God. Far exceeds. When God the Father looks at us, He sees Jesus Christ, who was obedient to the cross, to the death of the cross. In Ephesians, Paul says it like this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Amen. Think about that. It is according to the riches of His grace. Redemption and forgiveness of sins are according to the riches of His grace. Not from His riches, but to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. God never gives from His riches, but He gives according to His riches. What does that mean? That means God's grace is as boundless as God is Himself. Here says, I got enough grace to save you. I got enough grace to save anybody. And my grace abounds beyond any sin that man has ever offended me by. Verse number 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when we started this section of Scripture, death was reigning. And when you get to the end of this passage, grace is reigning. Amen. When you go all the way back to chapter number 1, where man's depravity is made very clear, by the time you get here, God says, but my grace is sufficient for man's depravity. Amen. And boy, there's a lot of depravity going on today. You know what people need? Salvation. They need God's grace. Because all people have sinned in Adam, there is ultimately no hope apart from the reign of grace through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this. Human solutions to human depravity always end in frustration. I mean, you look at our society, and you know what they do? Our society says, well, the government will spend money for this depravity, and it never works. You know what we need? Listen, I mean, I'm just going to give my political upbringing here. What we need to do is, if we want to help our society, bring the Bible back into the schoolroom. Bring the Word of God back into the schoolroom. Bring prayer back into the schoolroom. Man, it's like our country's divided. But God's grace is still sufficient for man's sin. Sin is too powerful for sinners to break its reign. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, is only solution for the world under a reigning power of sin. God's grace is greater than that sin. Now, let me ask you this. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people who really believe their situation is hopeless. They look at their situation and they go, there's no hope. Well, the reign of grace is greater than the reign of sin. You ever seen others and you go, man, there's just not much hope there. Listen, don't underestimate the grace of God. Amen. One sin is enough to send a sinner to hell. But the fact of our lives reveals that we sin on multiple occasions. Can such sinners produce an act or acts of righteousness that will cancel the wrong they have done? No. No. That's why people who teach works for salvation are totally out of bounds. You need a substitute. Jesus Christ, who made a way. And His obedience, going to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind, and the grace that God provides is greater than any sin that man has committed. His one act of obedience on the cross is powerful enough to cancel the sin debt of all who believe. So if I had it like this, the reign of grace is greater. Remember that little? Has everybody got that? Is greater. The reign of sin, the reign of grace is greater than the reign of sin. There is no hopeless situation. Anyone can be saved. Boy, when I think about what Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. He also wrote this here, understanding that no matter what sin it was that man's got involved in, we're all sinners, all of us. But God's grace is greater than all our sin. I love that song we sang this morning. God's grace is greater than all our sin. You're not hopeless, my friend. You're just trusting in the wrong thing. Your trust needs to believe in Jesus Christ. He's the one of salvation. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this great passage of Scripture that teaches us that God's grace